Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is a Pentecost message, and it is entitled, As Promised, So Delivered, based off of John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21, verses 25 through 27, and Acts verses chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Let us dive into the Word today. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me, and because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving with you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So do not be troubled or afraid. Amen. And now from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. On the day of Pentecost, all believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Amen. Happy birthday, church. Have you ever stopped to think about Pentecost that way? It really is the day on which the Church of Jesus Christ was born. And that birth happened as a result of a fulfilled promise. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, there's nothing worse than a broken promise. Everyone knows I'm a huge movie fan, and I can think of times when filmmakers promised to make films that never ended up coming to be. For instance, I think of the director Guillermo del Toro, who has stated that he was going to remake Disney's Haunted Mansion, which would be awesome. I like the one with Eddie Murphy, but it was a little campy and goofy, and it didn't take the darker aspects of the ride a little more seriously. I don't want to overkill that because it is Disney. You don't want it to be like an all-out horror movie, but you want it to have a little bit of the creep factor that is in the Haunted Mansion, albeit make it a little more playful and funny. A little more playful and less funny, I should say. But in the Eddie Murphy version, it was more of a comedy than it was true to, I think, the spirit of the Haunted Mansion. And, that's not to say it was bad, but it didn't take the backstory of the Haunted Mansion into as much account as I think Guillermo del Toro's would. Anyway, I could go on and on. The point is that Guillermo del Toro would be taking the Haunted Mansion in a different and less comedic direction than the Eddie Murphy film, which I think would be refreshing and good for that. But that film never happened. I mean, as you can hear, I would love to see that film. And I got excited when I heard he was making it, and it just never came to be. Robert Egger, who directed the film Witch. I don't know if you've seen the film Witch or not. It's a rather shocking tale that takes place in the Massachusetts wilderness area, and is centered on the idea of what if the Salem witches were actually witches? What if what people said they were doing, they were actually doing? And they make a kind of a somewhat psychological, spiritual horror story out of it. Robert Egger, who directed that film, The Witch, has said that he will remake the 1922 film Nosferatu, which I think would be awesome. I mean, seeing that movie, The Witch, and seeing his style of directing, the minimalism that he used in that film would just work so well with a modern adaptation of the 1922 silent film Nosferatu. So I'm excited about this given director's artistic style and what he would bring to that film. And while that is still being promised as a film that he is going to do, that film has yet to happen. But while those types of things are disappointing, they're at least understandable given how fickle the film industry can be. And so it makes sense. You know when somebody says they're going to make a film, there's a chance that something will go wrong and that film never happens. That's a given. But it's harder to cope with promises that are broken directly to you and that directly affect you. And this happens for various reasons. Sometimes it is accidental. People forget they promised this or that and they fail to live up to it. Sometimes it is circumstantial, like when you promise your kids to go down the shore and it turns out that the day you planned has 100% torrential rain in the forecast. I used to hate that when my parents would be like, oh, let's do a day trip. And then like, never mind. And usually it was circumstantial and they were right to not do it. But, as a kid, you had your hopes up. Sometimes it's because people don't know how to say no. So they promise to do something and just don't ever live up to it. Other times, people make promises to manipulate people with no intention of living up to it. And I'm sure each and every one of us have experienced the full gamut of different reasons as to why people break promises. And maybe we've broken promises for those same reasons. Regardless, it hurts when promises are broken, and it causes us to hesitate in trusting people in general because we know that promises get broken. And in this world, it seems that more promises are broken than they are fulfilled, which is why most people meet promises with cynicism hidden by a smile and a nodding head. You know what I mean? We deep down, we're not going to hold our breath for this promise to be fulfilled, but we'll nod and smile like we do believe you. But most people meet promises that way because we've had promises broken so many times. It's hard to put your trust in other people after having had promises broken. In the Gospel according to John, we have Jesus making final preparations before he dies. But the first thing he does in that is remind the disciples that loving Jesus means loving each other. Even if you vehemently disagree with others who are Christian, and that never happens, right? Christians don't ever disagree, do they? But even if you vehemently disagree with others who are Christian, we all are commanded by Christ to love one another. No exceptions to that. Something that we forget from time to time. The second thing Jesus does is make a promise. He promises that though he is going away to his Father's place, he will not leave his disciples orphaned or abandoned, but will send them the Advocate, also known as the Holy Spirit. Now, before we can appreciate the promise, we have to understand the shock and hurt. And I often talk about this at funerals because this is a common passage used at funerals. But we have to understand the disciples believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the one who would overthrow the Romans and restore the Davidic throne, making Israel return to its former glory. That was the disciples' expectation. And Jesus single-handedly crushes that expectation by saying that he's going to be betrayed, he's going to die, and he's going to return to the Father. Meaning, no longer be on this earth. He's going to be with God. Yet, what is important to understand is that Jesus never promised he would overthrow the Romans. He never promised that. That was their expectations, for sure, but that was not his promise. And as is usually the case, their expectations did not live up to reality. Now, Jesus promised to send the advocate, and an advocate is someone who supports, encourages, and represents or sponsors another, particularly in a court of law. And Jesus promises this to send this advocate. Thus, Jesus defines the role of the Holy Spirit, who encourages and supports us on our journey toward sanctification, toward being made righteous and fit for God's kingdom. The Holy Spirit guides us in our service to Christ and his kingdom, and who advocates for us before God, who is judge of all. So the courtroom reference is kind of done intentionally, though it's not just centered on us standing before God's throne, but also in our daily walk as Christians. But while Jesus didn't live up to the false expectations of his disciples, he did promise to send the advocate. That he promised. And he lived up to that promise, as we see in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, where 10 days after Jesus' ascension, the Holy Spirit arrives with gusto. And the lives of the disciples were changed forever, and as a result, the world was changed forever. They transformed from being disciples hiding away from the world, afraid to be caught, scared for their lives, to being apostles actively sent to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and God's coming kingdom. As promised, so delivered. Sisters and brothers, that promise is still being fulfilled. That promise is still being fulfilled. The Spirit is alive and well, amen? Jesus doesn't give as the world gives just to take away what was given. Jesus didn't just give the Holy Spirit to those disciples only to take the Holy Spirit back again. No, the Holy Spirit is here and alive and well and is here to stay. The question is, have you opened yourself up to the Holy Spirit? Are you a Holy Spirited Christian? Or has Christianity become an obligatory affair? Today, my friends, we are being challenged to become a Pentecost people. The most important celebration in all of the church is Pentecost, because that is the day the church came to be the church. That is the day the Holy Spirit entered into all Christians. That is the day that people started speaking the gospel truth and everybody was understanding it in their own language. That is the day where Peter stood up and spoke to the crowd and brought 5,000 people to come to know Christ and follow Christ. That is the day from which the kingdom of God began to stretch toward its conclusion, its final building, its fulfillment on earth as it is in heaven. This is the day that all of the church should be remembering that they are filled with the Holy Spirit and are called to go into the world and spread God's good news. Today we are being challenged to become a Pentecost people, the kind of people who are filled, renewed, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, a people who are caught up in and moved by the Spirit. Open your heart to the Spirit. And watch what God will do in and through you for the building of God's kingdom, because that, my friends, is what it is all about. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, just thank you and praise you for all who are listening to this message. Lord, we are called to be renewed in your Spirit. We are called to be filled with your Holy Spirit and emboldened and empowered and impassioned to spread Christ's good news to all people everywhere. Let our very lives, the very breath we breathe, and all we do in our day and in our week and in our months and in our years, let everything be a witness to who you are so that others may be saved and find their life in you. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and in the name of our triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so I want to thank you, my friends, for tuning in and listening to this message, again entitled, As Promised, So Delivered, a Pentecost Message. This message, I hope, will inspire you to go deeper in your faith, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to watch the passion of God's Word burn within you so that you may spread love and hope and healing to all the world. In the meantime, friends, I'd like to invite you to check out the links in your episode notes. Those are all ways that you can interact with us. You can also support this particular devotion by going on to Life Giving Water Swag Store. That's one way you can promote us, that's one way you can support us. And actually, you would be promoting us when you're drinking your coffee in a cool life-giving water messages cup, and people are looking at that going, hey, what's that? But yeah, that's one way you can support us. You can also support us by liking us and rating us on social media, and especially on whatever you're listening to this on, whether it be Google Play Music, iTunes, podcasts, or Spotify. Rate us on there, and review us, and help bump us up in the listings so that more and more people hear about us and listen to the into this podcast. So again, I just want to thank you for tuning in, and I want to remind you that you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Amen. Go in peace.